And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of this Hagman and the Hagman Report on our return from Dallas, Texas. Here, the Watchman. It was a successful conference, one that was that ranks up there with one of the best. Pastor David Langford, Pastor Flip Benham, Greg Jackson, Russ Dizdar, L.A. Marzulli, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer,
John Robertson, Greg Jackson.
Yes, America's coach, by the way, Dave Dobenmeyer. And please support PTSalt.com. I mean, that man works his heart out.
Pastor Billy Crone.
Pastor
Crone. He did an excellent presentation on the rise of the drones, rise of the robots. Actually, I picked up his DVD, RFID, Man's Greatest Invention or Mark of the Beast. I can't wait to check that out.
It's you know, see, it's not about, and some people will say, well, it's all about selling books and DVDs and such. No, you know what? It's about the information they contain, so we can be, you know, we can have the knowledge to fight against the evil that comes before us. And speaking about that, we found such a great way to decompress, to avert or alleviate stress, well, we found WholeTonesLive.com. Now, we had Michael Terrell on here not too long ago on our program. He's the head, the founder of WholeTonesLive.com. And what he has developed is what he has studied, the music of the Bible and different frequencies. And the fact is very simply this. Different frequencies can be used in a biblical way, and they can actually calm your racing mind. They can help you sleep. They can help you focus. Boy, do I need that, right? The tones, the frequencies, the sounds made by, created by Almighty God. That's the power behind Whole Tones Live. If you haven't tried it out, folks, go to WholeTonesLive.com. There have been doctors confirming the healing music that reduces anxiety, stress, suicidal thoughts, that treats PTSD and depression. Walter Reed Medical Center, they're now treating our veterans with music. And to hear Michael Terrell talk about this.
Yeah, we interviewed him Tuesday before we left. That was the 8th, I believe. Yeah.
Man, I don't even know what year this is, but no, you're right. You're right. So, folks, I'd urge everyone to visit. If you are really interested in a holistic, I mean, all around, you know, perhaps you are suffering from PTSD.
I'm sorry to interrupt. It wasn't the 8th. I think it was the 1st. Michael Terrell was on this last month with us.
Right.
And we have a kind of messed up schedule because we were gone for a week. But yeah, Michael Terrell was with us on Tuesday the 1st, and it was a great show. If you want to hear from his own words, I would suggest everybody go back and listen to the show, because he talks not about the whole tones, how it came about, but the 18 years that he had it, that he did not know what to do with it because he didn't think the people would understand. And then, you know, all the emails that we've received about the effects that it has had on people in their lives, whether it is mental or physical impairments, that they are reacting very positively to it, even to the point of being healed in some cases. I mean, we have the emails we can publish.
Right. Do us a favor. Just go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. And read his story. And download the samples provided for you. Take a listen. And I can guarantee you this. It will change your... It'll revolutionize you. It'll change your life for the better. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Great friend of the program, and certainly a man of God, Michael Terrell, and we're talking about really the shall we say the lost key of King David, and hertz and sound and such. I mean, it's a great product. That's WholeTonesLive.com. We're so proud to having them sponsor our show, folks. Also, I want to mention this, and this is. I don't quite know how to do this yet, okay, but I'll just say this. I'd really, part of who I am, and this is kind of a part of who I am, I've been an investigator all my adult life, all right? And I talked to Russ Dizdar this, I had the opportunity to speak with Russ Dizdar this, during the conference. And, being in the investigative arena and then seeing things, including but not limited to crimes, horrendous crimes. One that affected me personally was the horrendous murder of my uncle. And I wrote a book about it. It's called Stained by Blood. Folks, I would like you, if possible, if this is something that, I mean, it's up to you, but I just wanted to mention Stained by Blood is out. It's right now, you can get the first edition with a few little minor, you know, mistakes in it. It'll be a collector's item someday. I'm kidding. But I think, I'm not sure how many are left of the first edition, but that's kind of my favorite. It's because it shows the imperfections that I've got. Stained by Blood is my story of the investigation that I performed with a partner into the cold case murder of my uncle. That took place in 1982. In 1987, I accepted the case as a private investigator, and we were able to... Well, the book tells about the murder and about our investigation. Now, I would also urge everyone to read the prologue and the epilogue, because you see, what's in that book, it's all true. However, I changed the name. So in case you're wondering, I had to change my name randomly to Mark Stiles. And the names have been changed. And that was done at the urging of my attorney, who looked at this. And because there are some people who are still alive and some people who are still out there doing the things that are talked about in this book. That, to me, the bottom line is this. If you want an understanding of the underworld, if you want an introduction, or at least how I became introduced into the stuff Russ Dizdar talks about, this might make it personal for you as it did for me. This is a shameless promotion of my book, Stained by Blood. It's available right now on Amazon. If you just go to Amazon and type in my name, Douglas Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, or go to stainedbyblood.com, I just ask you, give it a try, order it. And I've gotten a lot of good feedback already. In fact, I think somebody had even rated it 5 stars. Somebody commented, you know how you do it. What people go on there and say, this good book or whatever. And in fact, this individual said it was nothing like I thought it was going to be. But it gives you an idea of what we are facing in the satanic arena right now. And it's a personal story. It's true. Names have been changed to protect the guilty and to prevent vexatious litigation unnecessary, because it doesn't matter. You know, people can sue anybody for anything today. And the sad part about that is, it doesn't matter what it is. You end up paying, you know, a gazillion dollars before you even get out of the gate just to defend some ignorant, stupid allegation. So I just want to say thank you to those who did purchase at the conference. And I want to say thank you for believing in me enough.
Yeah.
Enough for that.
And as I said earlier, you know, we brought, I don't know, 150 books maybe, 150 books, and they were sold out before the halfway of the first day of the conference.
In fact, what I'll do is post some pictures at Stained by Blood of the book signing, and even
we want to hear the reviews from the people who bought the book.
And you know what? If you like the book, and here's the other issue, the other side of this. I was told. In fact, I got an email. I got an email from somebody who said, "I'm going to make sure that you. I'm going to make sure you're slammed on Amazon." Okay, which is fine. I mean, I guess that's what people do, right? Slam meaning, you know, bad reviews and such. And What can you do about that, right? So if you like the book, and I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not asking you, I'd like you to buy the book, but if you like it, go ahead and just, you know, post your review. Do not, please do not post anything. If you haven't read it or anything, do not make any fake reviews up. And if you want an autographed copy, I haven't quite figured out how to do this yet, but if you want an autographed copy, I'll figure it out. Or you can just send me an email and we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we were thinking about getting a couple cases of the book sent here to the studio for you to autograph.
Yeah, I think I might be able to get like another case of the first edition. But so anyway, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to mention that. Okay, having said all of that, Joe, let's hit some really, really hard information news. You did. I know that you said you didn't go over. So, well, there's so much going on right now.
Well, you know, what you're looking at the top of Drudge, Clinton slams awful legacy of last 8 years, and I believe they're talking about Bill Clinton. And,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Of course, his wife's running for president. He he didn't say much when all this 8 years of chaos and divisiveness and, you know, well, this is going on. You know, if I remember correctly, he supported Barack Obama in his run for president. He wasn't too verbal about his displeasure during the first term, and he didn't voice that displeasure on the second run that Obama had. But conveniently, now that his wife is running, and the UN Secretary General position will be open by the end of this year, it's funny to see how he opens his mouth at this right time. But this article from the Washington Examiner I caught, and then there's another one here. We're going to cover this one about the Russian submarines first, but secondly, from another American skeptical of God, but think heaven is real somehow. I'm going to hit that next. But this article, again, from the Examiner, Washington Examiner, Dem says Russian subs dangerously close to U.S. Russian President Vladimir Putin is deploying nuclear-armed submarines dangerously close to the United States and European allies, a Senate Democrat said following a trip to the Arctic Circle. No one is suggesting that Putin is contemplating a nuclear launch against a NATO country, but it is not clear how tethered to reality Putin is, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy told reporters on Monday. And it should make us nervous that many of his submarines are starting to get dangerously close to the U.S. and our allies. Murphy made comments while arguing that the U.S. Navy needs to pursue an aggressive plan to replace aging submarines, which can thwart rival countries from gathering intelligence and maintain the security of global shipping lanes. In recent years, Putin's Navy has pursued a more aggressive strategy than ever during the Cold War, Murphy said. Russian submarines have been pushing out to the very precipice of NATO ally waters, he says. We have seen Russian boats coming closer and closer to the U.S. and our European partner ports than ever before, and in immensely provocative ways, in ways that were rare even during the days of the Cold War. Pentagon officials plan to scale back production of modern attack submarines if the Navy can't get funding to replace Ohio-class ballistic missile submarines. You're going to have to look at this program with the national lens, because if you drop this into the middle of the Navy shipbuilding budget, it will just get Navy shipbuilding for decades to come, Navy Secretary Ray Mabus told a House panel last week. Murphy wants the Navy to build those Ohio-class replacements without cutting production of Virginia-class submarines. Anyway, they say, if you look at the pace of Russian and Chinese building programs, we can't afford to drop the Virginia-class production back to one for more than a year. So I don't know if this is a call to try to get funding or carry out a specific agenda, and I haven't seen any proof of the Russian submarines, but we have seen Vladimir Putin being very aggressive with the in the air. He's had fighter jets that have breached U.S. airspace in instances along the Pacific. He has had his allies Syria and whatnot, and he's also been taking a stand against Obama and what they are doing. And on a side note here, somebody asked about the movie Armageddon, thank you. May 13th, 2016, it will be released, the movie Armageddon. But yeah, Russia and Putin, you know, is this just tactics of aggression, showing their teeth and how close they can get to, you know, the American establishment without actually launching a strike? As the report says, it is more or less like Cold War tactics, playing a game of cat and mouse with the U.S. Armed Forces. But there has been no hint of aggression, or, you know, except for the, as I said, the cat and mouse games that we see. Now, more interestingly, this story is something that caught my eye. American skeptical of God, but think heaven is real. Since 1980, the number of Americans who believe in God has decreased by half, and the number who pray has declined fivefold. Has America lost its faith? And I think this is very fitting, even though on this article they have a picture of Bernie Sanders still prays. but, you know, the United States formally separates church and state is how the article opens. And that's incorrect. But it's hard to deny that America is inundated with religious innuendo, from its controversial Pledge of Allegiance all the way down to its Judeo-Christian courthouse displays and faith-espousing legal tender, yet fewer Americans pray or believe in God than ever before, according to a new study in the Journal of Sage Open. Researchers found that the percentage of Americans who claim they never pray reached an all-time high in 2014, up fivefold since the 1980s. Over the same time period, belief in God and interest in spirituality appears to have similarly declined, especially among young adults. The finding suggests that millennials are the least religious generation in memory and possibly in American history, says Gene Tenwidge, a psychiatric professor at San Diego State University and co-author of the study, in a press statement. Most previous studies conclude that few Americans were publicly affiliating with religion, but that Americans were just as religious in private ways. That's no longer the case, especially in the last few years. The notion the U.S. is inching away from organized religion is nothing new. Throughout the 2000s, studies repeatedly found that America had lost faith in religious institutions, but scientists suspected that the shift was from organized religion rather than spirituality. That Americans have stopped attending formal services, but they still prayed and believed in private. And it made sense. The Catholic Church's highest publicized sexual abuse scandals had shaken America's faith in religious leadership right around the same time that our faith in non-religious institutions were beginning to wane. In 2014, one study found Americans had grown skeptical of church power in much the same way they had grown suspicious of all major institutions, including the media and the medical establishment, as well as Congress. But this new study suggests that Americans have a problem with God and that our spiritual issues run deeper than paltry mistrust of religious institutions. For the study, researchers polled nearly 60,000 entries from the GSS, a nationally representative survey of U.S. adults. The results suggest a steep decline in the number of Americans who pray, who believe in God, and who take the Bible literally, and attend religious services or identified as religious.
And that's important. Joe, I got to jump in here. Notice the numbers are consistent with those who say that they don't pray.
Right.
Go on.
But the decline in religious affiliation and participation has now extended to private practices and beliefs, the author writes, suggesting that the secular and one-fifth reported they were not even spiritual in this study. The next generation, often referred to as iGen, is more secular than ever. By 2014, the number of 18 to 22-year-olds who reported no religious affiliation rose from 11% in the 1970s to 36%. The percentage who said they never pray rose from 4% to 28%. Belief in God and attendance in religious services declined by half, while self-reported spirituality declined fivefold. This suggests that the I generation will continue to decrease in religious orientation rather than reversing it, even in spirituality, the author writes. One odd quirk, however, Americans have become slightly more likely to believe in an afterlife, even as they are abandoning prayer, belief in God, and rituals. This, too, is perhaps a telling sign of America's newfound relationship with old-time religion. It might be part of a growing entitlement mentality. And I think that's a good point. Thinking you can get something for nothing.
Oh, yeah.
despite being less religious than ever, people still think they're going to heaven. And that is sad.
And this, we can trace this back a long time. I mean, pretty far back. But think about how the events of 9/11 really accelerated the thought that all roads lead to heaven. If you are a Muslim who just merely believes that Jesus is a prophet, you can go to heaven. And the Hindus and Buddhists, this is the acceleration toward the one world religion that will be the state religion, not unlike what Hitler did in Nazi Germany with positive Christianity. And this is why it's so important to understand the nuances of Nazi Germany, to understand the nuances, the landscape of Germany before the Second World War. Sure, there was economic issues that created the monster of Hitler, but Christians embraced him. Now, use that as a template. Think about that, and everything Joe said about Americans, Westerners, people so-called who identify themselves as Christians, not praying and believing the lie that all roads lead to heaven. This is what we're seeing. And if I can, Joe, if I can segue this into something extremely important.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And we're watching this in real time. And this is something that we did see and we've been following over the last week. Okay. We are seeing a split among talk radio people and conservative pundits. Now, when I say conservative pundits, you tend to think Christian conservative pundits, but all right, think about this. All right, there are lists being made, and no, it's not the red list and blue list, green list, whatever. No, lists are being made now by people like Mark Levin, Glenn Beck. That's right, I'm naming names here. The Blaze, for example. Folks, Donald Trump is polarizing the conservative community. Not just the Republican Party, but the conservative community. And I suppose we could say conservative with a capital C, Christian conservatives perhaps, or just plain conservatives. But the bottom line is this. What we're seeing take place, and if you go, there was an article that appeared, and we did not talk about this. It appeared on The Blaze on March 15th, 2016, written by Matt Walsh.
Wow.
Okay.
I just read the title there.
Yeah. Let's remember the cowardly conservative leaders who betrayed us for Trump. Now, it doesn't matter. Okay, I'm not taking sides here. This is, to me, this is less about Donald Trump than it is about the very people who are mentioned in this story or that are behind this. For example, this article just briefly states that I'm not going to read from it, but I'm just going to say this, or I'm going to paraphrase from it. It does start out by saying Donald Trump has not been alone in his crusade to make a grotesque mockery of conservatism. Okay, now nothing. I mean, this is not journalism. This is a hatchet piece. But so this Matt Walsh is out there writing for The Blaze. He's a contributor for The Blaze, saying, "Hey, you know what? Trump is basically a Nazi." Now, here's what's happening, and here's why this is important. There are just an entire cadre of prominent figures making enormous amounts of money pretending to be spokesmen for the cause, only to sell it down the river. I was citing from the article, but what's happening here are people like Glenn Beck, who's clearly behind Ted Cruz.
Right. And this is somebody who claims to be, you know, a Christian conservative, somebody who claims to unite people via faith-based values. We talked about, you know, even him sending the soccer balls and teddy bears down to the southern border and whatnot and being, you know, trying to be a humanitarian of sorts. But is this a show or is this something that Glenn Beck really believes in? Now, his radio show and his... He's changed. There's been a change.
A dramatic change.
And the hate is... I say hate. It is coming out. People have sent us emails saying, you know, the comment about the stabbing won't stop as being directed at his Stew, one of his...
folks, that's not going to fly in the court of law. Let me tell you something. You take the context in which that was said, both before and after that comment. There is no way you can twist it to say, "Oh, I was talking about Stu." Man, I'm going to tell you something. There is a really huge problem. And if you are so deluded into believing that lie, it's a lie.
And there was a time where Glenn Beck was doing good work. He was, you know, waking a lot of people up to the truth about many things, Soros being one of them. The persecution of Christians is another one. But then to see the double talk that we've seen, and a good example of this was on Fox, whether this was Fox censorship or not, the FEMA camp issue, where he went on, it was Fox and Friends, talked about this big expose he was doing and what they found is going to be alarming and shocking, only to come across his segment on his show later that day on Fox where he basically said it was all conspiracy theory, crazy, and nothing to see here. And the fact that he owns his own media corporation now and had not continued to pick up where he left off tells me it was more than just Fox censorship. It was his unwillingness to continue telling the truth.
The issue here is, Mark Levin, for example, is aligning himself. Now, many of our listeners listen to Mark Levin. And Mark Levin is, you know, called the Great One by Sean Hannity. And Mark Levin now is aligning himself with George Soros and making a blacklist. Okay. And many people might not know this, all right? A little bit of back story here, and this is something I found out the hard way. For example, let's say, I'll just come right out and say it. I've had talk show hosts say, if you appear on this person's program, you're not going to appear on mine. All right?
Oh, yeah.
So, think about this. Imagine this. I guess that says it all, doesn't it? I don't even have to go into any. But what's happening is, Levin has a blacklist. Glenn Beck has a blacklist. And others are getting into the game. Okay. And actually publishing these. So if you support Trump, you're not going to be on my program. Now, I don't want to make this about Donald Trump because it's not. It's about the mere making of the list and about drawing the lines in the sand and about the massive and intense chasm, this gulf, this whatever you want to call it, this division, this divisiveness. And you know what? Christians are being dragged into this, and not only dragged into this, but they're part of it. They're actually making themselves part of it, injecting themselves. And where have we seen that before? Taking something, an issue that's none of their business, and injecting themselves into it to cause division. There's nothing good that'll come from that. And never has this country been so divided than it is right now. And I'm going to go with this, and I'm going to kick it back to you. This election will, I guarantee you, rip this country apart. And if the election itself doesn't, the result will.
And here's a good example. A article from Alex Jones from InfoWars. Radical leftists demand CNN fire analyst covering the Trump campaign. Also called for shutting down Republican convention. The George Soros-funded liberal attack group Color of Change has sent over 20,000 emails to CNN calling for the network to terminate Jeff Lord and Andy Dean for positive comments the analysts have made about presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. Just think about that for a
minute. Say that one more time.
The George Soros-funded liberal attack group Color of Change has sent over 20,000 emails to CNN calling for the network to terminate Jeff Lord and Andy Dean for positive comments the analysts have made about presidential frontrunner Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Now, think about this for a second.
Yeah, I want you... That's right.
These are analysts who are paid by CNN to be investigative journalists to go out and, give their assessment and analysis of what they see happening in the political world.
Now, and this is by design.
Backed by George Soros, doesn't like what the comments of the analysts were or the information that they found, and they had started a petition to have CNN fire these two reporters because for the truth they reported on or for their comments they made.
This is happening right here. Even to us. This is happening to us, folks.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you.
That will go out there and say that they're one thing and, you know, say that they're Christian and that, you know, we shouldn't be attacking each other. We shouldn't be doing this. At the same time, they're making up lies out of whole cloth, attacking us and other people who we align ourselves with, while at the same time saying we're the ones who are the guests we have on are the ones who are you know, causing the.
But it even goes one step further than that. If you say this or if you do this, you will not have our support.
CNN, here's a quote.
That's extortion. That's not even censorship.
It says, when CNN pays people like Jeffrey Lord and Andy Dean to defend and make excuses for Trump's racist and violent message, CNN is anything but unbiased and ends up validating Trump's violent message for millions of viewers. Millions of viewers what in a year? Director of group said in the press release, Robinson's accusing the network of shaping the perceptions of viewers by not denouncing the candidate. So because these people have an opinion, and we can take this to the next level to, you know, the Christian community, because people voice their opinion. And one thing we saw at the conference was Flip Benham and his sons. His two sons were the ones who had the show on the Home and Garden TV network.
Oh, yeah. Please tell about that.
And they made a statement that they were against homosexual marriage. Well, their show is shut down for those beliefs. And they said that they were not, shut down for having an opinion. They were shut down for voicing their opinion.
And there it is. Okay. So the war on the new media front or alternative media shows like this one is just that. It's not censorship. There are attempts and they will fail against us. I don't know how many will succumb to this, but it's extortion. So in other words, if you, for example, if we would come on and talk favorably about John Smith, Donald Trump, or whoever, you know, it doesn't matter what the name is. This is the, not new, but this is the tactic that's at play right now. And this is why, and this is how, one of the reasons why, or one of the tactics they're using to silence the alternative media, because you see, programs like this cost money. It costs money to broadcast. It costs money for staff. It costs money to, and you might think, well, you don't really need a studio. You really don't need, you don't understand. It costs money. Regardless, if you want to reach, depending on what you want your reach to be, it costs money to do that. So,
and I want to say this: there's an African American Tucson cop who attended the Donald Trump rally Saturday as a neutral observer, describing the anti-Trump protesters who crashed the event as the most hateful people I have ever seen. Brandon Tatum said he wanted to personally attend the event in order to get a firsthand experience of what it was all about instead of relying on media perception. Describing what he saw as very, very shocking, Tatum said anti-Trump protesters were verbally violent, swearing and yelling at people who were attending the rally. Speaking about the Trump supporters, Tatum said everybody seemed to be peaceful there. It was not
a lot of hatred and maliciousness going on, and that Trump supporters were not lashing out at protesters, challenging the media's narrative that Trump is inciting violence against protesters. Tatum said he heard an announcement before the event which told attendees not to become involved in altercations with protesters who were becoming unruly. That was another thing I don't see being portrayed in the media, is that they gave a disclaimer, do not hurt these people, you do not need to do this. Tatum went on to explain how protesters were yelling the F word, F Donald Trump, in front of children, and that one parent had to cover her daughter's ears because these people just outlandish, and they were just outlandish and out of control. Despite being a police officer, even Tatum said he felt uncomfortable, and that at any moment I could get sucker punched by somebody. Although it was the protesters who were accusing Trump supporters of being hateful, Tatum asserted, these people were the most hateful, evil people I have ever seen. I could not believe what I saw. I thought at some point it was going to be a full-fledged riot because these people were the ones acting so outrageous.
It's reversing the blame, or it's putting the blame where it does not belong. That might sound almost antithetical or in opposition to what you said, Joe, but what's happening is this, in a nutshell, you've got this rabid group of well-funded and truly well-organized anti-Trump people.
The Saul Alinsky, Van Jones, playbook with the George Soros money and the Bill Ayers revolutionary tactics.
And you've got the very people that you see after, 10 years of listening, for example, to Mark Levin. I know people that are converse with Levin and depend on Mark Levin for the, not publicity, but exposure, okay? Websites that Mark Levin cites. Well, okay, imagine think of it this way. Imagine you have a website and that's your sole source of income, and you employ a staff of maybe, six, and you hack off Mark Levin and Mark Levin blacklists you. There goes, if you have all of your eggs in that political basket and economic basket, there goes your life. I mean, there goes your house, there goes your everything. Now you might say, well, they deserve it. Okay. Without regard to that, the tactic is, as you put it, Saul Alinsky tactics that are being used by conservatives and even those calling themselves Christian conservatives. And you might say, well, Doug, why are you even surprised about this? I'm not surprised. I guess I'm just saying the fight is on, and folks, you're all part of it. If you're not involved, either, choosing a side, then you're being used as pawns. And when I say choose a side, I'm talking about the earthly side here, not the spiritual side, but the earthly side. And this is how they're going to shut up the alternative media, the new media, in some cases. This is how they're going to extort shows into bankruptcy. Correct. And this is so important, because when you listen to shows, for example, Caravan to Midnight, and I know John Wells will not succumb to that, or other alternative media shows. It takes money to produce the shows. So there's when we talk about censorship, we're talking about not just censorship. We're talking about all out assaults to shut down the alternative media, certain alternative media sites and shows. And it's happening today, and we're feeling the heat. Others are feeling the heat, and at the epicenter of this are the big talkers, many of the big talkers, and many of the people that the Christian conservatives put their faith and trust and even their ears into. And it's a shame. But be aware.
I don't know if you saw this. Donald Trump, we were talking about this conference, this AIPAC conference, and Trump said he vows to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Donald Trump vowed as president he would move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
It's about time.
And scrap the Iranian nuclear deal in a speech at the American-Israeli Public Affairs Conference, Committee Conference on Monday.
In pre-written remarks, a departure from Trump's typically improvisation style, the Republican candidate said that his number one priority is to dismantle the disastrous deal with Iran. And, you know, for once, you know, we're seeing a candidate here recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He's being attacked for this, though, now.
And once more, Donald Trump is saying all of the right things,
right.
Moving the embassy to Jerusalem. I believe that to be true. We need to do that.
And this is nothing, no slide against Trump, but, you know, we've heard so many promises from so many political candidates, saying, quote unquote, the right things, only to get into office and do the exact opposite. And
that's right.
But I've heard the other side of people say that, you know, what is our alternative at this choice? When you have Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State, who was the head of, you know, or the Ben in the middle of the Benghazi situation, in the middle of, you know, the IRS situation, targeting conservative groups, in the middle of, you know, her own scandal, her email scandal, with the private servers and classified information, something that Petraeus faced felony charges over himself, and it has been proven with Clinton that she did break the law more than once. Not only that, she lied about it and made excuses for it. Now we see that she's the front runner. She's going to get the Democratic nomination. And you see this divide, as we've been talking about on the Republican Party, and the insiders at the GOP openly vowing to, you know, steal the nomination from Trump any way they can, even doing so by third party to give the election to Hillary, Rather burn their own country down than give this guy a chance.
That's their intent.
And you have to ask why.
Right. And we receive emails all the time. What do you think? Do you think Trump is for real? Look, we don't know what's in his heart. We have been promised an interview. We hope to get this interview done. And when we were talking with Greg Jackson at the conference, he said, just ask him one question if he would, as the chief executive.
Yeah, Greg Jackson.
If he would shut down the abortion mills.
Actually, his quote was to shut down the wholesale murder of babies
right.
through the abortion mills and companies such as Planned Parenthood. And if we get him on, we will ask him that.
Exactly, we will. And the one thing we will not do, and this is our promise to you, is a lot of times the candidates will say, these are the questions that you can ask. And they already have scripted answers. We will not do that. We will not agree to that. All right. So the offer is out there. We've gotten to the point where, okay, yes, we can give you 15 minutes, half hour, whatever, to speak to the Christian audience that we have, because he's after the Christian vote. But we're not going to take his talking points. And his campaign manager knows this. Now the ball's in his court. And we're not going to be led by the hand. Or, you know, it's going to be up front, and that's the way it's going
to
be.
If we have the opportunity to interview Trump, I would put together questions that, as a Christian American, in the time we live in today, with the chaos we see, would be pertinent and relevant in the area of problem solving, not problem management.
Right.
And
that's a very good way of putting it. Problem solving, not problem management.
It's interesting because you see this whole weekend, anytime I was able to catch and flip through some news stations, they kept showing this clip of Ted Cruz saying, it's time to unite everyone. It's time to bring everyone together.
But
then they
show
Trump, you know, saying something, and they would take it out of context. And just planting those seeds of discord, the furtherance of discord. But as I said earlier, when you have the Republican establishment and the Karl Rovian types and others actively looking and seeking, willing to burn down their own party and bring in Hillary Clinton as president, rather than give somebody who is trying to or saying they're going to change things for the better for America, you know, make America great again. Is Trump able to do that? I don't know. If he's elected, would he do that? I don't know. But, you know, that's something we would ask him about. But their unwillingness to even give him a chance, it's either, as we said, the greatest psyop in American politics, or the actual fear of these people because of the loss of control of a man who can become president due to his own financial holdings, and do so without being having the ties to in need of their financial assistance, which would basically put him in a position where he would have to have an allegiance to the people who are funding him.
You know,
that's what is scary to these people is that he is, and just like we said, it was said this at the conference, Josh Tully said this, and Flip Benham said this, they want to take away what they can't control. And
there it is.
The Christian belief, our belief in Jesus Christ, is something that they cannot take away or control. We see them trying to do it.
Well, they will
do
it.
They are, well, Kim Davis is an example. You know, they will censor you. They will shut you down. They will take everything you have. You know, and it was brought up at the conference also that why is the healthcare system taken over and run by the IRS instead of the EPA? You know, you don't want to do this. We're going to take your, you know, house. We'll take your car. If you're, like the Mark of the Beast says, you cannot buy or sell. It's coming to that point, but if we don't, and we are not the example, and we are not the change, and we don't seek to provide those people with positions of power, or even a local, state, or federal level, who are willing to try to make a change, then we're not doing our job. And I'm not saying you should vote for Donald Trump. I'm saying that you should...
Because the name doesn't, the person doesn't matter. It's the tactics. It's right out of
Alinsky. No one's opinion or no one's beliefs or what anybody says about any of these candidates at face value. Do the research yourself.
You know, this is the politics of personal destruction at its best. The scorched earth policy, the so-called conservatives / Christian conservatives. They're doing it. You know, our cry is watchman. One of the things that we at Hear the Watchman we were talking about was the definition of a watchman. I think one of the audience members asked, you know, what the definition of a watchman is. And ladies and gentlemen, I know, for example, I know that there is a biblical definition of what a watchman is. I get that. And I understand that was the subject of many, not many, but several sermons, YouTubes, articles, and such. But let me tell you something, all right? If there is a short in the electrical system in your house, and we see it, all right, but no one else does, and we alert you to that short that's smoldering and causing you can just see the brown starting to, from the fire, starting just to spread a little bit on the drywall, and you can see it. But you the homeowner, the resident, don't see it, but we do, and we alert you to that fact. I don't care if we don't conform to the biblical definition of a watchman, if we alert you to that fact, I consider us watchmen to the extent that we're saying, hey, there's a problem, fix it, get out of your house, call the fire department, get on this. We are alerting you to this because, you see, the enemy used to be coming and breaching the walls. Now they walk amongst us. While we argue over the definition of what a watchman is, your house is about to be burnt to the ground. So if you want to sit there and argue about the biblical definition of a watchman, go ahead, as you have the house around you burns to the ground.
And that was one of the questions posed to us at the conference. What is a watchman? And, you know, it is a title for each and every person, just like the scripture says, All those who are of the Lord Jesus Christ are to be ministers of his word, not only by word to others, but by our obedient example and our daily walk with him. And we need to be the example. We need to be the change. You know, Christianity gets a terrible rap and a bad name because they look at some of these preachers and people who call themselves Christians who are living degenerately. And I can say I was one of those people who consider myself a Christian and did not, you know, walk in any kind of obedience. But something changed in me, and it wasn't something I did for myself. It was something the Lord did. And maybe it was because I started to pick up my Bible. Maybe it was because I started to think on his name.
We are all failures. We could never, never, by our own works, ever be suitable for the kingdom of heaven. No. It's only through the God's salvation for us. It's only by the blood shed by Jesus Christ. It's only by his death that we are able, and our belief in him, that we are able to enter the kingdom of heaven, because we will never measure up as because we're all human, right?
Right.
So that's it. That's it. But I got to tell you, as watchmen, here's the deal. The enemy has breached the gate, breached the walls. They walk among us now. They're inside the village. They've taken over. And now it's time to expose those who have taken over. And it, you know, people think that they're people, you know, bodies with a spirit. No, we're spirits. And we just happen to have a body. But yet we live, we must be heavenly minded. We must walk in the spirit, but we still have to have a presence here on earth because we're physical human beings. So we have to play both, in both venues, I suppose, or we have to exist in both venues. And the only thing I'm going to say about that is, you know, if you can walk and chew gum at the same time, well, of course you can. So we can do both at once. It's not an either or proposition. It's an all of the above.
Right. And here in Psalm 115, it says this: "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but under thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, and the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but hear not. Noses, and they smell not." And it goes on to say, "They that make them are like unto them, so everyone trusteth in them." And just to close it out, as we're reaching the end of the program, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But I will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever and more. Praise the Lord," it says.
And thank you for that. And folks, thank you. All I want to say is thank you. Thank you for you being you. We all have our positions to play. Now the war is really, really ratcheting up. The enemy walks among us. We have to be ever so vigilant. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our absolute honor to be able to say, to call you our family and our friends.
And to say thank you. You are all watchmen out there. Each one of you who have your eyes open and your heart open to the Lord. Tomorrow, Stan Dea will be our guest.
And I think Chris Ann Hall is going to be on this week. Ann Hall.
If not tomorrow, the next day for sure.
We got to iron out our schedule. Good night, everyone.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.